Hey.
Healing.
257. Hymn number 257.
Worship service this morning. We want to welcome everybody here this morning. If you're visiting with us, well, we just ask that you join right in us as we try our best to honor and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would ask you all to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. I have one verse there I want to read. While you're turning there, we'll make a couple of announcements. Tonight, after the service, after our singing the service, we will have soup and sandwiches over at the fellowship hall, so anybody that can bring soups and sandwiches, we'd much appreciate that. Also we'll need some help right before service tonight, say around 5:30, putting out some tables and chairs over there. We have a birthday party going on right after the service today for some people, so we won't be able to get access to it until about 5:30. So if some men could come and help, we'll set out tables and chairs out there before church tonight. Also, we will be doing our trunk or treat this year on Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll be doing it a little bit different. We won't be giving out hot dogs this year because of the COVID and everything, but we will be giving out candy. We ask for anybody that's willing and wants to come and help us do that. It'll be social distance. We'll be outside and you'll be in your own cars handing out your candy and stuff, but we'd like to make that a special day and for kids, but the true reason for it and meaning behind it is to spread the word of God. So if you have a Bible verse or whatever that you'd like to share with the kids or put in a little treat bag for them, I encourage you to do that. The church will be giving out candy bars and we'll have it, the plan of salvation with those candy bars as well. So again, we'd ask any all that can to come and help us do that on Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. Yeah, here in Jeremiah, and I'm just going to read one verse, and I think this is so fitting to our current state in our country. Jeremiah here is writing the Lord's words for him to the captives, the Israels that are captive in Babylon. But verse 11 says, and this is the Lord speaking, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." Now, in 70 years there after being captive, the Lord brought the Israelites out. But to think as a child of God, our Lord and our Savior has an expected end for us. It might be troublesome at times to get there. We might go through pain and we might go through heartbreak and other things in our life. But as a saved child of God, there is an expected end for me. And to know that He's got that plan for me is a great comfort. As we come into this election season, no matter what happens, no matter who gets elected, no matter what happens to this country, the Lord has an expected end for me, and I can put my faith and trust in that. And so, again, just join us in worshiping the Lord today, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Ron.
All right. If everybody please stand, turn your hymn book to page 39. I was making sure I was on the right page. And our brother deacons come forward to receive our morning offering. Brother Chris, would you ask blessing the offering, please?
Sweetest name. scared. Oh, I thought I knew scared. But I'm so filled with fear, I can barely move. Doubt, I've had my share of doubts, but never more than right now. I'm wondering, where are you? Here on the edge of fall apart. Somehow your promises find my troubled heart. This is the truth I'm standing on. Even when all my strength is gone, you are faithful forever, and I know you'll never let me fall. Right now I'm choosing to believe. Someday soon I'll look back and see all the pain had a purpose. Your plan was perfect all along. This is the truth I'm standing on. Good, I believe you're still good. Even when life's not good, I will not lose hope that the God who parts the sea, promise he's gonna make a way for me. This is the truth I'm standing on. Even when all my strength is gone, you are faithful forever, and I know you'll never let me fall. Right now I'm choosing to believe. Someday soon I'll look back and see all the pain had a purpose. Your plan was perfect all along. This is the truth I'm standing on. My rock, my shield, my firm foundation. I know I will not be shaken. You remind me where my help comes from. This is the truth I'm standing on. Even when all my strength is gone, you are faithful forever, and I know you'll never let me fall. Right now I'm choosing to believe. Someday soon I'll look back and see all the pain had a purpose. Your plan was perfect all along. This is the truth I'm standing on.
Amen. Amen.
You, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your word. I hide its verses in my heart. And you promised me you were coming back one day.
Amen.
They hung you from the cross. You conquered the grave so we might live in the goodness of God. Amen. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen.
I tell you, sometimes we forget to tell all these young people coming up in our church how much we appreciate them, their singing and their parts that they do. And I appreciate them. They truly are a blessing to me. I'm one of the older ones, its voice is going away, and I really and truly am so proud of them for stepping up and doing their part. On the cross as they hung, shame was forsaken as they drove the nails in his hands and his feet. As death closed his eyes, his cry went to heaven. Oh, Father, forgive them, his spirit received. One morning, past daybreak, as the crowd slowly gathered, like a sheep he was humble to his Father. They were walking, my Lord, Calvary's hill. In a tomb he was laid, but death could not hurt. world below. On the cross he was given the plan of salvation, and I want to thank Jesus for his coming again. One morning past daybreak, as the crowd slowly gathered, like a sheep he was humble to his father's own will. So sad was his face that the birds stopped their singing. They were walking
Okay, let me turn on this lapel mic and take your Bibles, go to the book of Jonah, and we're just going to we're going to jump right in here. Really appreciate that, the singing this morning. Thank you. And each one of those songs, I'm glad that we got to hear each and every one of them. You know, you can't put, there's no way you could put a timeless God into a bottle that contains time, because he's just not going to fit. And you know, we only Sunday morning only lasts so long, and then the world begins to take over. And I'm just glad that we have the opportunity to let the Holy Spirit work in our heart. Each one of those songs I know helped me, and wouldn't want to do without them. This morning in the book of Jonah, we're going to look here, and just a second, when I said that, I got to remember what I just did with my notes. There you go. Oops. Oh, they're right here. There you are. All right. So let's pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you'd help us as we look into the book of Jonah this morning, and then on into the story about the rich man that's in hell. And Lord, as we look at these two different stories, that we would help us to see a truth there that you'd have us to learn this morning. I want to just thank you for what you've done. Thank you for being good. Thank you for what you did on Calvary for us. Thank you, Lord, that we could just take a few minutes this morning and block out the rest of the world and have your spirit speak to our spirit. Father, I pray you'd forgive us for where we fail you. We certainly do not want to open a Bible and come before you with hearts, Lord, that are not clear before you. And I pray, Lord, that we would do that this morning. Lord, and I thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving in our lives. And Lord, I just pray again you'd use your word. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And I just got to find Jonah here again because I closed it. What I want to do this morning is just to start out in the book of Jonah. We won't end up there. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." We're all very familiar with the story of Nineveh. We know that this was a very wicked city. It was a city that, I mean, there are some places in America today that perhaps maybe this would look like. Not only was it an immoral city, but they were also very cruel in how they dealt with their enemies. There was a lot of reasons why you would not like anybody from Nineveh. And perhaps Jonah or somebody he had known has experienced some of the hatred from this city, but Jonah did not care for Nineveh at all. He did not have the compassion that God had for this city, and when God told him to go to this city, he wanted nothing to do with that. But what I want to focus this morning is on this. Notice how God looked at this city. The city had enough going on in that city that God, in his right, would have had every reason to do away with it right there. But because he cares about people, he wanted to give them an opportunity and warn them about what was coming and give them an opportunity to repent. And that's what he did.
okay? And Jonah didn't want to hear that. And we know the story that he ran away from God and ended up in a fish's belly. I want you to look down in chapter 3 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. May I tell you something? It's much better to do what God tells you the first time. You don't want to have to hear it the second time. Because for Jonah, that second time involved the big fish. It would have been a whole lot better for him to listen the first time. He didn't do that. Now you have this verse, and the word of the Lord came to him the second time. A lot's happened since then. He was in a fish's belly. The fish threw him up. The whale threw him up on the shore. Could you imagine that event as he hit that ground and what he looked like and the things going through his mind of spending 3 days inside of there? And in verse 2, he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." He even gave him some instructions. He said, "I want you to go and I want you to preach what I tell you." Because who knows what may have come out of Jonah's mouth if it was up to him. He said, "I want you to go in that city and I want you to preach to it the message that I have for them." And then I want you to go down to verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people, now aren't you glad that you're looking at this saying, "Boy, I wish this morning's message would be that short." Five words and it was over. That was a joke. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every man from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" Verse 10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of that evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." I mean, what a wonderful thing happened in that city. Jonah went there and he preached that message. Now listen, may I tell you something? You talk about a Holy Spirit-filled message, because the words that he said wouldn't have been able to accomplish what was accomplished unless God got a hold of that. Because that man's heart was not in it at all, but God's heart was in it. And when those people repented of their sins, God heard from heaven and he had mercy on them. Okay, now I want you to look down at the bottom of chapter 4. And you know, Jonah got upset because of what happened. He wanted them to be destroyed. And also he got upset because that gourd died. Look at verse 10. "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and their left, and also much cattle?" You know what he's saying? I want you to point out, because we're going to move on to Luke chapter 16. You can go ahead and find that. He wanted you to understand this. The people in Nineveh had not had the opportunity they had that day. They did not have the opportunity to sit under the preaching that they sat that day. That was a pagan city, void of the truth. There was no light in the city. That's the reason why God sent the light to the city, is because there was no light there. They did not know and understand to the depths of what they were doing and what it was going to cost them, so God sent a preacher. And that preacher informed them of the truth. And the preacher can only do so much. And then God, in the Holy Spirit, then takes that word and applies it to our heart. And then the people had to respond to that. But that is something that was new to them. It was new to them that they had offended God. And when they heard they offended God, They did something about it, and because of that, God was merciful to them because they had not had that opportunity. And God said, listen, does it not bother you, Jonah, that these people can't discern from the right hand to the left hand? In other words, they did not have the knowledge that was given to them. They did not have, you know, even in this world today, there are people that sit in darkness and don't have the knowledge that you have. Every young person that was brought up in church, that you may be, hey, I'm 50 years old and I'm serious. I can count on two hands the number of church services I've missed. And many of you are the same way. And there's kids today being raised the same way. Every Sunday we take them to church. They sit in Sunday school. We live in America where we have freedom of the gospel. America is not blind to the truth. America does not live in ignorance. The majority of people in this room are not ignorant of what God wants. We're not ignorant of right and wrong. We're not ignorant of these things the way Nineveh was. I want you to see the mercy that God gave the city. I want you to see the opportunity that God gave the city. Then I want you from there, turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, if you would. And let me get there. And this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And I want to point out a couple of things here. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So we know the contrast here. The rich man lived different than Lazarus did. And Lazarus, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And we know that Lazarus, the rich man, had everything. He knew that Lazarus was outside of that gate. He knew the condition in which Lazarus lived, and he did not care. He wasn't concerned about it. He wasn't concerned about the future. He wasn't concerned about what God thought about how he was living. He was just doing what he wanted to do. And Lazarus was in a different position, and there was somebody suffering within earshot of this rich man, and he just didn't care. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice the contrast to how each one of them got into eternity. The beggar, who was filled with sores, all of a sudden, can you imagine, to his surprise, as he went from death to life, as a light began to shine, can you imagine, to his surprise, he may even thought that they had the wrong guy. As they came to get him and usher him into heaven, could you imagine the shock on the rich man, who is used to being greeted at the gate, who is being used to being honored and uplifted? Could you imagine, to his surprise, as immediately, with no escort, he woke up in hell? Could you imagine how he thought, perhaps somebody got it wrong? Could you imagine Lazarus taking his tour around heaven and saying, I get to live here? Are you serious? Are you sure this wasn't intended for my neighbor? Are you sure we didn't get mixed up somewhere? And then we get to look into the depths of a place that is foreign to us. So the rich man is in hell, and Lazarus is across the gulf in Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom does not exist today. They're in heaven. That's been moved, but at this time, you had that difference with that gulf in between. I want you to look at this. And in hell he lift up his eyes in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. So immediately he was able to identify over there Lazarus. And then he cried out to Father Abraham. He knew who Abraham was. The fact that he said, Father Abraham, lets you know he was not in the same position as Nineveh, Brother Chris. He was not ignorant to the Bible. He was not ignorant to the truth because he knew who Abraham was.
Amen.
You know, there's people today have no clue who Abraham is. Do you know that in because Zambia has a lot of Chinese people there? And the Chinese people will say, well, what do you do? What's your job? And you tell them a missionary. Do you know I have to explain to them what a missionary is? Because they don't know. It is a word they're not familiar with. Now, this man did not fit that category. See, understand, he knew who Father Abraham was. So he understood the truth. Okay? Now, let's go on here. He said, have mercy on me, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, that for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou, now he's asking him to go back and to review his life. Is that not a scary thing to understand? At some point, we're going, that's scary. To go back and review in your life in a place that you can't change. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. He said, look, because you are reaping what you sowed. Okay? Now I want you to go on in verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this man. I want you to think about God in heaven who had mercy on a wicked city. He was going to destroy it. He told Jonah, you go down there and you preach. And when Jonah preached, the people listened, and the whole country got saved. That is a God of mercy. Now here's my question. Where is the God of mercy here when this rich man simply asks a simple task? He said, could you please send Lazarus to my brothers and tell them so that they don't come here? Do you know what the answer was, Chris? The answer was no. And I'm thinking, well, what happened to the same God in Nineveh that was preaching to Jonah about being kind and about being merciful? And he got on to Jonah about not caring about what was going on in Nineveh. That same God could have allowed Abraham to send Lazarus back. Where is the mercy now? See, here's the difference. Nineveh was ignorant. This man was not. Amen. That's the difference. Nineveh didn't have the truth. This guy did. And you know what he said? I want you to notice what he said. The reason why he didn't send Lazarus back is because they had the truth already there. Watch this. And it said, and Abraham said unto him, they have what? Moses and the prophets. See, God did not leave them helpless. They had it. He didn't care. And may I tell you something? One of the biggest problems with those of us that have been raised around Christianity is we cannot claim ignorance. We cannot say we didn't know. We cannot say we didn't realize what that would do to us. We cannot say that we did not know God is a holy God. If you've been in Sunday school, you are responsible for what you heard. If you had devotions at home, you are responsible for what you heard. Every church service, no matter how old or how young you are, every sermon that you've ever listened is going to be an indictment against all of us when we get to heaven. Every single word, because I cannot claim I did not know. I cannot say I did not know God was holy. I cannot say I did not know that there was consequences for my wrongdoing. I cannot say I did not know God felt that way, because you understand something? I know. Why? Because I wasn't ignorant of it. I understand. I know God is holy. The question is, with that knowledge, how do I live? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be able to claim ignorance. The reason why, I'm reading this, and in my mind, in my study, I was looking at that and saying, Now, why wouldn't God do that simple task and just send Lazarus back when he went through all of that effort in Nineveh? The reason being, Nineveh didn't have the truth. This man and his brothers did and did nothing with it. And there is a consequence to that. Well, let's go on just a little bit further if we can, and I got to hurry. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 13. It says this, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning..." Okay, so here's what God asks us to do. As obedient children, meaning that you have to know what to do in order to be obedient. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust..." Now look at this. "In your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." Look at verse 14. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust..." Why? Back then you did it in ignorance. But then once you've come into the presence of the gospel, once you've been around an open word, once you've listened to the preaching, you can no longer claim ignorance. Now it is total and 100% rebellion against the authority of God. You cannot claim obedience. You cannot claim ignorance. It says it right there. Amen. It says you did it before in ignorance. You didn't realize, I mean, you weren't presented with what God thought about that sin. And then now that you are, and now you're being held to another standard of what you know. Remember the story of the talents? When God gave each man according to his ability, and he gave the man one talent. Do you know what they knew? He's coming back. Do you know what they knew? That you're going to have to give an account of what you did with that talent. And when he came back and everybody brought their talents to God, the one hid his talent. And remember what the Lord said. He said, you know, it would have been better for you to go use it and lose it than just to hide it. You know what that man couldn't say? "Well, I didn't realize you were coming back. Oh, I didn't realize you wanted me to..." He knew that. Amen. And the consequences for him were pretty big because he knew it. He knew he was coming back. He knew it was given to him. He knew he was supposed to do something with it. See, guys, if you own a Bible in your house on that day, do you understand on that day? Here's another one. Remember it says, "In that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name." And then Jesus is going to say, Jesus is going to say, "Go." And then they're like, wait, must be a mistake. "Man, I prophesied in your name. I did this in your name." You know what he's going to say? So he's going to give them a chance to rebuttal. And then he's coming back with the final authority. And he's going to say, "Depart from me, because they knew." Now, the ones, no matter what, you die without Christ, you're going to hell. God's mercy poured out on Nineveh. The reason why he didn't send Lazarus back into that town is the truth is already there. Amen. And the reason why those people would end up in hell, because they didn't want the truth. This is going to be an indictment against every one of us. But if you've read it, if you sat under its preaching, if you grew up underneath its words, understand that day this is going to be present. And every time I have an excuse and every time I have a reason, guess what's going to be held up against me? What I know. And that's here. He's going to say, "Dave, you're telling me you didn't understand that that's not how I wanted you to live." What are you going to tell him? "Well, Dave, you did this. Dave, I watched you say that. Dave, I watched you think this." What am I going to claim? "Well, I didn't know." Because you know what? I've sat under this way too long. This is a huge cloud over my head that I'm going to be held to what I have heard. America cannot claim ignorance. I mean, you can go to a monument in Washington and see his proof in our country. It's on your money and your wallet.
Right.
We can't claim ignorance. We can't claim I didn't know. We know.
Amen.
I mean, God might, you might see God working someplace else where they've not heard like we've heard here. And the problem is, you know what he'd say? He'd say, well, you've got 90 churches in Scott County. 90 churches in Scott County. You got Bibles in Walmart. You got Sunday school and Vacation Bible School and Christian radio and preachers on the TV. You're not ignorant. You just don't care. And on that day, that's going to be a big thing. To have to deal with the fact that that's what I'm... Guys, I know too much. That's the problem. And you know another verse that haunts me sometimes? More than often? To whom much is given, much is required.
Amen.
So do you know that you might see, you might... Now understand, you die without Christ, you're going to hell, whether you heard or you haven't heard, and that's the reason why you and I need to be busy about the gospel. But may I tell you something? It does talk about that it'll be harder on some people than it is on others in the day of judgment. That on that day, as far as what happens to the works that I've done in this body, whether they're going to get burned up or there's going to be anything left to Jesus, has to do with how I treat his word and what I know. Okay? And what I know is this: he's a holy God, but do we treat him like he's a holy God? I know he's a holy God. Do I live like he's a holy God all the time? I know that he is to be put first in my life. I know that there's supposed to be nobody that I love more than him, and I could go on and on and on and on. And it's very evident that knowledge, you have to give an account for it. And what, you know what, guys? Could you imagine what would happen if we just start living what we know? I would say this. I probably don't need another sermon. I've heard 900,000 of them. That's not my problem, Brother Lloyd. My problem is just doing what I know. I can't plead ignorant. I know he can see my thoughts. I know he knows my heart. I know he judges my motives. I know that he's supposed to be put first. I know all of that. But can I say every part of my life shows that? I mean, when you look at that, it ought to cause us to say, man, Lord, help us. But may I tell you something? What you can do, this, I promise you, is available to everybody in this room. We can still do what Nineveh did. We can hit our knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I have not done justice to what I know. If your mercy and grace gives me the opportunity, help me to live in such a way that I am responsible for what I know. And if we'll just do that, I mean, is that not scary? I mean, to think, it was just a simple request. Could you please, I mean, and it comes from a man, Sean, that was hurting. He didn't want his brother. That would seem like such a kind request. Can you just please, was it in God's ability to send Lazarus back? Yes. It was in his ability to do that. It was just such a kind request. I mean, why wasn't that just simply? Because the truth was already there.
Amen.
And they didn't want it. Whereas in Jonah's day, those people didn't know. And God wanted them to have that opportunity to hear. For you and I, when we walk out of this room, we cannot claim ignorance. From here, it's just going to be strict rebellion.
Man.
And believe me, there's a difference. You know, I mean, when you and I do not do what we're supposed to do according to that book, that's where that falls, is in 100% rebellion. I knew to do it. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says this, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But may I tell you something? That grace is still there. And we can hit our knees and say, it would sound different than the prayer they prayed in Nineveh. For us, it would be, God, please. And may I tell you something here today? If you're here and you're not saved, and you're in this room right now and you're not saved, on that day, you cannot say, nobody told you. Can't do that. You can't say that. Because you've heard. Now here's the thing. Are you going to walk out of here obedient or rebellion? Or rebellious? The reason why that rich man was in hell wasn't because somebody didn't tell him. He knew, did nothing with it. The reason why America is in the shape that we're in today spiritually as a country is because generation after generation has grown up around this. And we no longer can claim ignorance. But man, I tell you what, you talk about something that moved the heart of God. God's people who are called by his name hit our knees and say, God, I'm sorry. Amen. Thank you for the knowledge that I have about you, and help me to live in such a way that honors and obeys that knowledge that I know. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Father, I thank you for the truth. Lord, thank you for the two stories that we saw in the Bible. Lord, one in a city that was desperately wicked, that in all rights should have been destroyed. But God, before you did that, you wanted to give them an opportunity. We saw a very kind and gracious and loving God that gave those people an opportunity before the destruction comes. And then we read about the rich man who had a simple request. He just wanted Lazarus to go back and tell his brothers, and you reminded them that the truth was already there. And though one rose from the dead, unless they wanted to listen, nothing was going to change that. And then, Father, we think about us. We think about the Bible we carry home with us today. It'll travel in our car. It'll end up in our homes. It'll watch everything that we do. Inside of it is the truth, and we know it. Oftentimes, we live contrary to that. And, Father, we cannot claim ignorance. And, Father, Lord, one day, our nation is in jeopardy because of that. And Father, the grace that you might show on a country that does not have our heritage versus us is different because we know. And God, I pray that there would be awakening and it would start in our hearts today. Lord, that there would be each person here acknowledged of the fact that we know way more than what we live. And Father, I pray that you would help us to search our hearts this morning. We ask that in your precious name. Amen. If you'd stand with heads bowed and eyes closed and